Today's gospel, like many of the other gospel passages, is one of those ones in which I would like more details. There's so many parts of the story that just, you feel like you want more. There's just not enough details to fill in what the full story was about. For example, here they have two boats full of fish. They bring them ashore. Then what? What did they do with the fish? Did they like leave them there to die? And now you have this whole like slew of fish on the shore? Did they sell them? Did they eat them? What happened to the fish? That's a lot of fish to deal with. According to the gospel, they just left it all. Left it on the shore? I don't know. It's one of those details I'm not sure on. The other one I'm curious about is the other disciples. What was their reaction? We have Peter's reaction. He has quite a bold one, where he even speaks words. The other ones don't have any words. They're just astonished. And their astonishment was enough to leave everything and follow Jesus. But that's all we got. Getting two boats full of fish where you're about to sink your boats is a pretty big deal. But the one that intrigues me the most is when Jesus comes into this passage, he's teaching a huge crowd of people by the lake. Enough that, by his very words, they're surrounding him and about to like clobber him, so he has to get in a boat and then from the shore teach them, because they're not going to get in the water after him, and then he has a space to actually speak. What was he saying? Imagine, his words were so enticing, so invigorating, so alluring, that it'd draw a crowd to him to the point they're going to crush him to continue hearing him. There must be something powerful about his speech. And yet there's nothing, not a word by St. Luke about what he actually said. Kind of puzzling. Don't you want to know what he said? What was he preaching that was so important? The fun part is, we actually do know what he said. But it's cryptic. Because we have to remember this. Jesus wandered around Galilee for 3 years. He was constantly going around preaching, to the point where he probably told the same thing over and over and over again to different crowds in different contexts with maybe slight variations as he's speaking to different people. Which means Luke knew he'd already said it many, many times. Why repeat it? We know what it is because of the miracle. Which means we know what the story is as well. He's giving them a parable about fishing. He tells the parable that a man goes out to cast his net, and he casts his net, and he brings in a bunch of fish, and then he sits on the shore and separates them, the good fish from the bad fish. The good fish he keeps, the bad fish he throws away, back into the lake. That's the parable. And as the people are listening, they have no idea what it's about. They're confused, which is what Jesus tells us. When he was preaching to the people, they had no idea what he was saying. And so, being perplexed, confused, he does something to help them. After telling them this parable, he goes and shows it to them. Here, let me show you the truth of my language and what it looks like, that you may understand what I mean by setting Peter out to go fish, and then he brings in tons of fish, like the big harvest of the world. And then the people get it? Nope, they still don't. Maybe we can get it. Maybe we understand what he means. That at the end of time, he'll come back and gather all the people of the world, and then there'll be good people and bad people. Good people go to heaven, bad people get condemned. We get that part. But that's not the important part. We now know what he's preaching and why the miracle makes sense. Because he needs to show it. And this is a thing we need to see with all of Jesus' miracles. It's not just done, like, woo, he caught fish. He's showing the truth of his words through miracles. We need to combine those events so we grasp what Jesus is doing. Now, the fun part for us is the next line. It's Peter. Peter is sitting there mending his nets, probably half paying attention to Jesus. He's probably really upset at the moment. You know how it is when we get upset. We just don't pay as much attention to the things around us as we're grumbling about, I didn't catch my fish for today. And so as he's grumbling, Jesus says to him, put out in deep water and get ready for a catch. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, we might catch something. Why don't you give it a shot? Or, let's see what happens if you drop your net in the lake. Maybe something will come. It's almost as if he's commanding the fish. He's saying to the fish in the sea, come, I need you right now. And they all come in big numbers. And so Peter, the person he is, he says to him, Master, we have worked hard all night. I'm tired. Nothing's out there. Give it up. I don't want to do this right now. I paraphrased. Regardless, this is the voice we speak so very often. Lord, I don't want to do this right now. I'm tired, it's been a long day, please don't ask me to do anything more. I just don't have it in me. So Peter's voice is the same as ours. And yet he still calls. Jesus calls us constantly. And this is something we have to remember. Often we think of God calling us as a once and done kind of thing. He comes and says, I want you to do this. And we go, not right now. And then he goes away and finds someone better. We think that way. We like to think we have that one shot and it's done. That's not how God works. And it's very important to grasp this. He will come time and time again to prove to us that it's his word, to prove to us that God is doing this, so we can wait things out. Here's a good example for you. Do you remember Moses, the weird guy that wandered in the desert for 40 years and then went up the mountain and met God, that guy? Moses went up Mount Horeb. On Mount Horeb, he got the Ten Commandments, these two tablets written by God's finger. Pretty special. The only time God actually wrote something in all the totality of Scripture. He brings him down the hill and he sees that the Israelites had made this golden calf and were reveling around it and worshiping it. Furious, he breaks the tablets. We know the story. Then, lamenting what he had done, he goes back up and now he has to chisel them himself. Why am I bringing this up? Because when he comes back down the hill, there's now two sets of tablets. Which means the Israelites know that the second set is true because it matches the first set. God made a point of that to show the truth of his laws. Here's another example for you. Think of Jesus in the Gospels. How often does he cure people? All the time. He's constantly curing people, hundreds and hundreds of people. And they're all more or less the same. The ones we have are people who are blind, deaf, mute, lame, those standard ones that go with the prophecy. In every situation, it's kind of the same. It's an act of faith, the person's healed, they go away happy, they get the sense of God's there. But everyone is just slightly different. Everyone is attuned to the particularities of each person, which means we know the general feel. God can heal. And he's showing it not just like, one person's healed, now you know I can do it. But time and time again, that we may build our faith on the reality of what God can do. And the particularity that he comes to us as individuals, finding what we need. We should have great hope in what both Jesus does and what St. Peter realizes. God will come to us time and time again, and he'll guide us to seek his ways that we may know them. And if we miss it the first time, thinking maybe that's the devil, maybe that's my mind, he'll come again, and he'll come again till we realize that's not me anymore. But that's not where we need to go now. St. Peter has a second part to his phrase. Master, I've worked hard all night and caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets. He takes an act of faith. I will do this. That's where we also need to be. So often we go, nope, not now. But just maybe this time I'll be like, okay, fine. I'll do it this time. What happens when we do that? Great miracle. Not necessarily we catch a whole bunch of fish, because not all of us want a whole bunch of fish to deal with. But nevertheless, maybe we get instilled with new virtue. Fortitude is strengthened, or our courage is strengthened, or maybe our self-control, maybe a gift to the Holy Spirit of wisdom or knowledge or kindness, something of inspiration that reminds us that was God's will. So when we hear it again, we know that. This is the beauty of that. So we should see in St. Peter something wonderful. Even though he didn't want to, he complied for that moment and realized it. Leading to his third phrase, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. He's the only one that recognized that. He's the only one with the humility to realize he was wrong in what he said and to seek mercy. Then he truly sought God for who he was. The fish were no longer important. What was important was God himself. And that's where we also want to be. Not just, Lord, I don't want this right now, or Lord, I want this, but I'll do it anyways. And then, now that I realize it, my last reaction should be, now I believe. Now I grasp you. Leading to the final line of our gospel, which is a very cryptic and weird line, from now on you'll be catching men. Kind of a line spoken to all of us as well, but please do not throw nets over people, they don't like it. Instead, our goal is to realize all of this comes together as one. It's one big event. Starting with Jesus preaching about the gathering of the fish of the world, symbolizing the end of time, when he'll come and gather the good and then throw away the wicked. made manifest in the miracle itself, when he shows that he actually did that, which shows us what it means to catch people. We find the good and draw them into the mystery of God. We find the wicked and bring them to conversion. That's what it means to catch men. It's all summed up in the full context of the passage. So today's gospel is very rich, and it guides us to many things. It helps us realize that God is teaching us. He wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to know his will. And he's going to keep working at it until we figure it out. We grasp that that's actually God. And we should have great hope. We don't have to just miss it and then we're done. He's going to constantly be there. He's going to constantly help us. He's going to make us work through all of it, even when we don't want to, most likely when we don't want to. But as long as we're willing to say, Lord, I'll give it a shot, and forgive me when I'm wrong, great things can happen, leading us to full faith, guiding us to seek God in a new way, and realizing our call to seek God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to build our faith on what God does for us.